Beautiful Souls. I'm your host, Shakira Moore, and welcome to episode 10 in the series Revisited. This week has been the best week I've had so far in 2021, and no holds barred when I think about all the weeks I've gone through from January leading up to this one. A lot of amazing things happened this week, and I am on a natural high, and there is so much to be grateful for, and I'm still in awe of all the great things that have happened this week. This week was very busy, but it was also amazing. So if you've been listening to this podcast long enough, you would know that I am Jamaican by birth. A very proud Jamaican. Big up yard. But I moved to Canada 6 years ago. And on Thursday of this week, I became a Canadian citizen. So now I say I am Jamaican by birth and Canadian by choice. And it's been a long time coming. I have endured, I've overcome, I've sacrificed, I've struggled, and it all culminated with me taking the oath of citizenship. And it was such an awesome feeling that everything I worked so hard to achieve and everything that I've experienced led up to that moment. So that was something big and exciting that happened. And I have such amazing friends, and they showed up for me in such a special way this week. And it was really heartwarming to receive all the love and support and encouragement and congratulations from friends and family. And trust me, when you are in a position to receive love from your network, like, bask in it. So for all of this week, I've been basking in all the love I've been getting. And trust me, it's been amazing. And that's why I'm on a natural high right now. Like, nothing could ever give me the kind of high I'm experiencing. And I just want to say a big shout out to my friends. Like, I'm not going to call them out on here because, you know, keeping some things close to my chest, but they know who they are, and they've showed up for me in such special and unique ways. And I'm really grateful for the people in my life who I call friends, and for my family, and, you know, just my amazing, awesome support system. I really have a lot to be thankful for. And what I especially love is I have colleagues who became friends. And I don't know about you, but when I start a job, I go there because I'm seeking employment. Like, finding friends is not high on the list, right? Because I'm here for work. So being able to meet amazing, like-minded people in a work environment and then become genuine friends, I feel like it's a blessing. And I've been so fortunate enough to really have friends and create these relationships with really good, kind-hearted, genuine people, and to have them show up for me and to celebrate me and this achievement is really a good thing, and it gives me a great feeling. So yes, I'm gushing about what happened this week, and I'm gushing about my friends and how they showed up for me and how they surprised me and just really made me feel so special. And this week isn't done yet, so I will be celebrating. Yep, the celebration continues, and I'm looking forward to all the other ways I'm going to be celebrating with my best friend. She knows who she is. So I'm looking forward to it, and I'm grateful. Like, that is the overarching feeling, gratitude. So that's been my week. I hope your week was great and you had something to celebrate. You accomplished something and you are ending the week on a high. And if you're not, then that's also okay. There's a lesson to learn from this week and from the experience or the experiences. So take the lesson, brush yourself off, give yourself that much needed grace, and try again next week. As long as you have breath, you have options. So look at your options and try again. So for this week, the episode I'm going to revisit was previously recorded as season 2, episode 4, Reminders, a conversation with author Jermaine O'Connor. This is the longest episode. It's over an hour long, and with good reason. I'm not going to revisit the entire episode because it's already been done. So if you want to hear the full length, it's season 2, episode 4. What I am going to do is revisit a couple of the poems that we discussed. So Jermaine is a very good friend of mine who is also a talented and phenomenal writer, and his books are timeless. And I say to him all the time, like, your books are awesome and the poems really are applicable across all age groups, genders, all walks of life, for every circumstance. So it was so special that there were poems in both of his books that really spoke to our unique situation, being living in a global pandemic. And that episode was first recorded at the start of the pandemic. So we had just gone into lockdowns, and the prevailing message was, we're in this together, it's only for a couple weeks, let's just stay indoors, let's just do what we can to stay safe, and we'll ride this out. Fast forward 19 months later, and we're still in this pandemic. And it's so interesting to revisit the episode because there was so much hope and so much promise and so much expectation. And we were looking at the lockdown and working from home as a good thing, filled with so many opportunities. And to an extent, that is still very much true. So what I want to do is revisit a couple of the poems because they are still very relevant to us today, 19 months later. And the whole point is to revisit these episodes and to remind us of some important truths. And trust me, when you hear something the second or the third time, it hits home differently. And that's what I'm here to do. I want to remind us of some important things that we can mull over and let it hit differently. And, you know, we'll make commitments to start doing things differently and looking at things differently, because that's what's important. It's our perspective that matters, right? So, gonna get into this episode. Happy listening.
I have a special treat for you today. I will be having a special guest for this episode. And the special guest is none other than my good friend, Jermaine O'Connor. Now, Jermaine is the published author of 2 books. 2 amazing poetry books. First one, Reminders and Revelations, and his second book, The Resolve. I have favorites in each that we're going to talk about because they are timeless and I think also very relevant to what we're going through right now. And they provide a sense of inspiration and comfort and hope. So I wanted to share the poems with you, and we're going to just discuss them some more and pick out some important nuggets and gems. Thank you for agreeing to be the guest on my show. So just tell the people a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, and then let's just dive right into what are some of the strategies that you've implemented since we've been asked to stay indoors more often and practice social distancing.
Great. So my name is Jermaine O'Connor. I'm a marketing professional. I focus on social media a lot. I have a background in video marketing, YouTube, bit of Amazon, some display. So I guess I'm a little bit well-rounded there. So that's me. Highly creative. I really enjoy writing and music.
What are some of the ways that you've been coping with our new normal?
Good question. Creating balance and structure. or reinforcing. That's, you know, taking breaks, being mindful that I'm at home and I'm working, so I have to kind of use the space to my advantage. And being good with, I guess you could say, a minimal lifestyle. The idea that, you know, we have less.
Yeah.
So being good with enough and understanding that, you know, your home can be all you need if you are tactical about and in control. Again, taking those breaks. I have a dog, so I try to walk her midday. She always needs an evening walk.
Yeah.
So I try to structure that out as well with having calls and duties at work, obviously, and emails to answer. So striking that balance and, yeah, really making sure that my health is in check. As much as at the office, we typically sit all day, we usually are more, I think, granted the opportunity to kind of get up and do what we need to do as long as our work is getting done.
Yeah.
So applying that at home in the sense that it's really easy to sit on your couch for 12 hours.
Right.
Are you eating? Are you taking a break? Are you staring at the same, you know, emails, your inbox all day? Or are you switching it up?
Coping means just shifting and adjusting your workday routine.
Yeah, it's necessary. It's a challenge, remaining disciplined above all else.
So how have you been able to adapt and what have you put in place to still be able to function as a creative and still collaborate with your friends and still meet?
Well, funny enough, all that collaboration has been brought to a halt.
Yeah.
We've actually, up until maybe 2 weeks ago, we were meeting up every Saturday for the last 2 years almost.
Right.
So we're looking at it as this is some much needed time for ourselves. However, we still stay connected via WhatsApp, just being like, this is what's going on at work. How are you guys doing? You know, when this blows over, we'll get right back to it. But still doing our own thing in our own nests.
Right.
Those check-ins are important, even from a non-creative or productive standpoint. It's really just, you know, how are you guys doing? How are we doing? Right?
Right.
And just looking out for each other. That's been probably more necessary than even the creative check-ins.
Right.
Even just venting, even if we have to.
When I first saw the title, I was like, this is interesting. And then as I started to read, I thought the title was so apt.
Yes.
Because there are things in here that do cause me to really reflect. And there are some reminders I really needed, you know, in terms of how I lived, my outlook on life. And then revelations, there are some things that I needed my eyes to be opened up to see.
Yeah.
So for today, I just wanted us to focus on reminders because in a time like this, we need reminders, especially ones that have positive messages in them.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go in the order that they were written, but more in terms of the themes themselves. So the first one that I want us to just talk about for a little bit is uncertainty. And that's on page 49. I'm going to ask you to read all of them because it's your time to shine. So could you do us the honors?
Of course. No problem. Just a caveat here. Yeah. So I wrote this when I was, yeah, definitely thinking about trusting and trusting the process. That's really the idea behind this and the internal feeling of that trust. I'm just going to read it here. So uncertainty was a feeling I could never grasp until I chose to embrace it. So the idea behind that again is, you know, we chase after the things to give us certainty. Again, whether it's success and the materials, but sometimes it's not even the materials. It's us thinking that we can have control over things in which we, you know, do not. And the reality is control really comes from fear, right?
Right.
And wanting to control it. And so that's why we grasp, right?
Right.
We're drawing our hands out and grasping and grappling, holding, gripping, and embracing is really, you know, when you, I mean, if you think about something you grasp or grip, it's going to be a bit more aggressive, and it implies more, you could almost say it implies a little bit of neediness to it. You hold something tight, right?
Right.
Gripping it. The thing you embrace is something you're going to approach and welcome. In many cases, it's something you're allowing to approach you to embrace it. So the idea that uncertainty is really, it's kind of a relationship.
Right.
Have a relationship with uncertainty in terms of how you choose to treat it or approach it. You know, there's uncertainty in the world. Am I going to grasp at everything, trying to control everything? Or do I allow what happens to happen and do what I can do that's within my realm of power, capacity, right?
Right.
And so making the choice to embrace uncertainty for what it is the theme there.
And that's the sentiment behind why I chose this one, is because right now there are so many questions. There are more questions than there are answers.
Yeah.
And uncertainty is a place that brings with it discomfort. And there are a few of us who are comfortable with being uncomfortable, but the majority of us are not.
Yeah.
So in a time like now where your job is uncertain, the economy is uncertain, your own health and life, you are not certain of. How do you cope? How do you adjust? How do you come to terms with that? And like you said, grasp here is you trying to hold on to some measure of control.
Exactly.
If you look at your body's position when you grasp something, your hands are locked around an object, meaning like your hands are closed. But then when you go to embrace someone or something, your arms and your body is open.
Exactly.
So it's like you are physically accepting and welcoming something or someone. Let go, surrender, embrace, open yourself up to what is, and then see how things flow from there. And I feel like once we make the decision to let go, surrender, embrace, the worry falls away and ideas of how you can now adjust will come.
Yeah.
Because you're no longer operating from a place of fear. And I think that's important. And in a time like this, that's the kind of message that we need to hear and be reminded of.
Yeah.
So don't try to hold on to and control, but let go, surrender, and embrace. So awesome, awesome. The next one I want us to share with our beautiful souls. So this one is introspection on page 75 for good people out there. And again, we'll link the book in my show notes, and I'm encouraging everyone to go grab themselves a copy because it's a good investment.
Yes. So introspection. Those conversations alone in the dark revealed the most. For I spoke what I couldn't see into existence, and I would see everything I never said. Introspection. So yeah, so the idea here is, for me, the things we say to ourselves and the things we visualize, introspection is a very, you know, powerful thing. So, you know, I spoke what I couldn't see into existence. The idea there is, you know, things I could have never imagined have come to be.
Yeah.
And then seeing things, seeing everything I never said, that again then is how I've never thought I'd experience, that I may have always wished for, but also, you know, denied myself. The conversations in the dark, you know, when I say revealed the most, it's because we dream, or at least myself. And so, you know, you'll dream of the positive of, you know, things, speaking good things into existence, but sometimes we see things we never would have thought of. And, or we see things we always thought we might not have deserved, you know? And so when I say I never said, it also is the idea that I never put those things out there, but sometimes they come about, and those conversations, you can get dark, right?
Right.
So it's knowing that introspection is powerful. You know, our life kind of plays out in terms of what we, where we focus and what we say and what we wish on ourselves or wish for ourselves, right?
Right.
That was my mindset at that time, trying to write about in my own way, defining, you know, introspection.
So for me, the conversations alone in the dark reveal the most. Is I didn't take it as literal in terms of you sitting in the dark. But for me, it was more of you finding that quiet space, going within to really finally spend some time with yourself, ask yourself those tough questions then, and sit with what you're going through. Ask yourself, am I okay? How am I coping? Like, really do a check-in.
Yeah.
And it is in sitting and asking yourself those questions that you then get to see who you are and the answers about who you are, how you think, how you're feeling. That's when all of that will be revealed. So I thought it was important to bring this one up and just to share this with everyone, because it's important that we do some introspection. It's the only way that we can grow. And going through an experience like this,
yeah,
it serves you better. It serves the community better. It serves humanity better when you grow from this experience and you improve. The next one is going to shift the conversation a little bit, because it talks about one of my favorite words, boundaries. Yes. And I have an episode that talks all about boundaries. And I think now more than ever, we will be forced to confront the concept of boundaries. So that one is on page 55. Take it away.
So it will cost me nothing to be kind until it does. So I wrote this when I was less understanding of boundaries.
Yeah.
And the importance of them. I was a very widely accepting person. Because of that, kind, or seen as kind, obviously. And so, you know, I went probably most of my life not thinking that boundaries were necessary if I was genuinely kind.
Yeah.
And not even being kind so that people would be kind to me. I just literally didn't know how else to operate. So I was literally like, why else would I be anything else? And thus, I'd expect on top of that, that no one would have any other reason to be anything else towards me.
Yeah.
So I had an interesting, I guess, you know, expectation, maybe subconsciously, of things. And it really cost me nothing to be kind. Like, it was the easiest thing. My life was pretty simple because I'd just be kind and then keep it moving. And then until it did cost me. And the concept of boundaries becomes, I mean, I learned, you know, what it would cost me without boundaries, right?
Right.
So the idea there is, it's the idea of a wake-up call. And not to say that I'm less kind now, but I limit, I guess, you know, the extension of kindness. So always still in support of people and being there, but knowing now through experience that I don't have to necessarily accept everything or be as welcoming and inviting. Not that I'm going to be standoffish, but that not everything, everything is not for me. Everything isn't for everybody.
Right.
You know, and so understanding that and knowing that, yeah, I can be kind to everybody and I still am, but okay, like just being more discerning, more selective and saying, I'll be kind to all as always, but will I be maybe as inviting or as allowing, or I myself, will I be someone who goes out and seeks additional people or projects or things like that? And also learning that part of kindness, or a necessary element of kindness, is actual boundaries, because boundaries allow people to keep their expectations of you in check. And that's what I also learned, is that people always expect me to be kind, which I was, but then, you know, you give an inch and they take a mile kind of thing. So
right,
when they go as eventually they, you know, people may go as far as they think they can go, and then you realize, oh, I was very accepting of things I probably didn't need to accept, and they wouldn't have hated me any less if I said no way back, but here we are. So that's the motivation behind this piece. To this day, it still costs me nothing, but I learned that it won't cost me until it does. And the moment it does might be when the boundary is too late, right?
Right.
So yeah, that's my philosophy there around, you know, boundaries. And
last but by no means least, and yes, that's a very cliche saying, but it's very, very relevant for right now, is the poem Cherish. And that's on page 37. So before I get you to read and share the headspace and the heart space of where this is coming from, I wanted to share why I chose this poem and why I saved it for last. These last few days or weeks for some of us have forced us to face our mortality.
Yeah.
And that's not always an easy and a comfortable thing to do.
Yes.
When you're living, you don't have time to think about dying. Now that the business of living has slowed down to a snail's pace, now you've been given or being forced to engage in the practice of thinking about dying. And when you think about dying, then you think about your loved ones, and then you start to assess what you place your value on, what is near and dear to you, what is important to you, and ultimately what you cherish. For me, it's relationships, it's friendships, it's the connections that I have with people. Those are what tops my list.
Yeah.
If I was to prioritize what I cherish and what I deem important, it's not the academic achievements.
Yeah.
It's not the work achievements.
Yeah.
It's not even the things I create. It's people.
Yeah.
It's a connection. So in a time where the things that we build are slowly losing value, what do we then place our value on? What are the things we're going to ultimately cherish, are now being forced to consider to cherish, you know, to hold and deem as important? That's what we're now being confronted with as people, as a humanity. And that's why I say this one for last, because I want us at the end of the day to walk away asking ourselves, what do we cherish?
Yeah.
So with that said, it's all yours.
Great. So this one goes, cherish your never happenings as much as your never endings, in moments, in loves, in life. So the idea behind this is, for me, when I wrote this, was to, I was reflecting on a lot of things where, you know, I might have thought whether or not I might have been attached to whatever the person or the moment or the object or the opportunities, but just sometimes thinking, wow, imagine if that lasted long. Imagine if this person was still around today, or if I was still doing this, and learning to attribute the same value we give to things that we believe will never end to things that may have never lasted or happened, you know?
Yeah.
So it really comes to seeing things for what they are and holding on to, and I know we talked about control and all of that, but the idea of holding on to what the goodness of those never happenings might have been. So yeah, this didn't pan out, but it taught me this, or there was that one moment I'll never forget. And because of that, because of cherishing that, you can cherish it as much as the things that you may see that won't end or that may last forever, because that's how you make those things last forever, right?
Right.
Is by cherishing them. The almosts in our lives and things like that, it's about cherishing those sort of things and seeing them as equally as the things we do have. Because there may be a time where the things we do have may not last, and then we are forced to assess. And again, like you said, how we place the value, right?
Right.
And how we value things. So looking at, you know, just because something is in the present with us, something we might think we'll have forever, it's a gratitude piece.
Yeah. I love also the fact that the first thing you, in the list of what you should cherish, you said in moments, because earlier you mentioned we're always basing our happiness on a future achievement. I'll be happy when I get that new car. I'll be happy when I get this promotion. I'll be happy when. And it's like happiness is a moving target.
Exactly.
And if you live like that, you'll never be happy. You'll never be satisfied. You'll never have enough.
Yes.
And for me, when you mentioned
cherish the never endings in moments in love, in life. The in moment for me spoke volumes because it's so easy for us to fall in the trap of future versus now. We won't enjoy our full existence if we don't appreciate and cherish the now and assign to the now equal, if not greater, value than the future. And in a time where tomorrow isn't sure, isn't certain, we really should be cherishing the now.
Yeah.
When people are talking about, oh, out of this will come a recession, and you start to worry, you're worrying about a reality that may not come to be. You're worrying about a recession that may not happen. You're worried about a circumstance that may not even come to pass. When you put yourself in a tailspin with ideas, realities that just live in your head rather than focus on right now, then you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah.
And I think that's the final message for this section that we need to leave our listeners with, that in a moment where it is easy to give in to the fear, to give over to the uncertainty,
yeah,
to worry about future events, don't surrender to that. Instead, cherish the now. Cherish your relationships. Exercise compassion and kindness, but with a spirit of discernment. Don't be afraid to put your boundaries in place. Don't be afraid to enforce them.
Yeah.
Like, those are the key lessons and the takeaways that I have. And I just wanted to share with anybody who hears this. Thank you so much for writing this excellent piece of work. And that's the power of the written word. When it's intentional and it's beautifully done, it's timeless. And it's not confined to any one circumstance, situation. I just had to share it with my listeners so they all find hope and peace and solace from the wisdom in your words.
Thank you. Thank you for reading and finding yourself in it. Thank you. And yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, when I write these things, you know, in my craft, it's always for myself first. It's really my way of often translating the intangibles of life. And so being able to really give that away is the blessing. And it's something that can't be bought in that sense. And so I'm always, you know, grateful that people can walk away with something like that and impart some sort of change in that regard. And even whether it's not change, but if it's just somebody's able to think a little bit more about themselves or about the things they care about, and, you know, if it ultimately makes them put more into those things, then the book has served. So thank you. I appreciate it very much.